So let's turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. This was part of my reading this week, and it's a blessing to my soul, and I thought I'd preach on it this evening. A song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So I've given this, you'll see that on the sheet, I've given this sermon the title, You Need Help. Have you ever had someone look at you and say that? You need help. You can see something as they look at you. And they say, you need help. It's clear you're not coping. You're struggling. You need help. Perhaps our natural reaction isn't to like that. We like to think or give the impression that we're strong, that we can cope, that, you know, we're all right, we've got everything sorted. And yet the truth is, of course, we're not strong and we haven't got everything sorted. And we are weak, frail, and needy. The Bible says that even at our best, even in our prime, even when we're strongest, we are but vapor. We're a breath. Okay, so not when you're getting old and past it. When you're in your prime, when you feel your strongest, you are, the Bible says, I am a breath. If we're Christians here tonight, we're simply sinners saved by grace. And in a sense, the Bible takes one look at us and says, you need help. You need help. Are we ready to accept that? Are we ready to acknowledge that tonight? Our weakness and need? In a sense, that's why we're here tonight, isn't it? At least I hope it is. We're not here because we're the sort of super spiritual ones who've got everything sorted. We're here because we know we need help. We need the Lord. We need His presence. We need Him to speak to us. We need to speak to Him. We need His strength. And so we're here because we need help. What sort of help do we need? Well, this little psalm reminds us, doesn't it? We need our feet kept. Doesn't mean we need a podiatrist. It means we're on a pilgrimage. Verse 3. And the Bible often pictures the Christian life, doesn't it, as a path that we're walking along or a race that we're running. As we continue this life, we're on a journey. And we know from experience the path isn't always easy. In fact, often it's hard and difficult and bumpy. And it can be hard to keep going and easy to give up and stumble and slip. I often take you back to that great psalm, Psalm 73, that great psalm of Asaph. You remember, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, he said. He was going through on the pilgrimage and he was looking at the wicked around him and they seemed to be having an easy time and he looked at himself and seemed to be having a difficult time and it didn't seem fair and he felt like giving up. His feet had nearly slipped. He'd lost sight of eternal things. He felt like giving up. And in various ways, we can feel like that at times, can't we? That's the danger, isn't it? To keep our feet on the... What do we need? We need our feet kept. You need to be kept on the pilgrim way, on the narrow way. We need to be protected, don't we, from evil. Just jump down to verse 7. The Lord shall preserve you, protect you from all evil. We're surrounded by evil. Do we realize that? We're bombarded by evil. We're faced with a continual battle. The evil one would love to bring us down. He'd love to do us harm. He'd love to draw us away from the Lord. And he's too powerful an enemy for us to deal with on our own. And we need help. We need to be protected and preserve from the evil one and all his wiles and all his schemes. And we need to be kept and protected from the evil within as well. Not just out there. It's not all the troubles outside, is it? It's in here as well. So though I'm a Christian and though we're saved people here tonight, if we are trusting Christ, sin's grip has been loosened, hasn't it? But it still remains. And sometimes it remains a lot more than we would like people to know. And we need to be kept and preserved from ourselves and our own foolishness. We need help dealing with ourselves and putting to death sin and overcoming lust and pride and selfishness, things that can so easily rear their ugly heads. We need to be kept, preserved from evil. And we need to be preserved just from life, don't we? Look, verse 8, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. The various comings and goings, for all of those things, we need help. We need strength, don't we? Daily strength. How are you feeling about this next week? And all you've got to do, I mean, it's you might be feeling a bit, oh, we need help, don't we? And all the coming, getting up in the morning, going off to work, maybe whatever it is you've got to do, dealing with coping with all your aches and pains and everything else that you face in life. We need help, physical, mental, spiritual help. In all the busyness of life. So we need help. We need to be, actually the word that keeps coming up, kept. We need to be kept. We need to be kept. That word preserve in the New King James is the same word that you have earlier on. The Lord keeping us. He who keeps you. That's what we need. Do you feel that sense of that? I hope you do. So where's your help going to come from? Where are you going to look for your help? I wonder how you'd answer that. When things get difficult, when life gets tough, when life gets overwhelming, when your health breaks down, or somebody fails you, or trials come, and you feel you can't go on, where do you go for your help? Who's going to help you? Perhaps for some of you, you're still trusting in yourself. You're trusting in you. You're looking to yourself, your own wisdom, your own abilities, your own strength to cope, to just keep going on. The trouble is you can't keep going on, not in the end. Perhaps you're looking to other people. Well, other people fail as well. What was the psalmist's answer to this? What's every believer's answer to this? Well, the psalmist points us, doesn't he, to the only source of true, lasting help. I think if I'm praying for one thing tonight, it's that we go away with a sense of the wonder and the joy and the beauty of those opening words of verse 2. My help comes from the Lord. What a blessing to be able to say that tonight. To answer that question, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. He's the one I'm trusting in. He's the one I'm looking to. He's the one who helps me and keeps me and strengthens me and watches over me. What a blessing that is. Have we forgotten how... What a blessing that is. We could live in a world around us, don't we? People are living their lives and facing all their trials, and they've got no help. They've got no one to turn to. They're trying to go it alone. And yet, as God's people, we can say, my help comes from the Lord. And of course, we know that the Lord here is speaking of our triune God, isn't it? Speaking of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we're not talking about some generic gods, you know, that the same God as everybody else. We just worship him in one way. And no, this is the Lord. This is Yahweh. This is Jehovah. This is our triune God. The Father is Lord, and the Son is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is Lord. The Father is our helper. The Son is our helper. The Spirit is our helper. My help comes from the Lord. What a blessing that is. Just turn on to Psalm 146 with me. You remember these words, verse 3 of Psalm 144? Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there's no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob as his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. There's where happiness is found. There's where peace is found. There's where joy is found. When your hope's in the Lord. When the God of Jacob is your help. And so through Psalm 121, the psalmist reminds all those who trust in the Lord of all the reasons why it's good to do that. It's good to look to the Lord for your help. And that's what I want us just to think about just for a little while then, remind ourselves of this evening. Before we do that, we ought to just notice those rather, well, it's the beginning of the psalm. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Why does the psalmist begin, I will lift up my eyes to the hills? Well, this is one of the songs of ascent, isn't it? You see that at the beginning of the before verse 1, the song of ascent. These are the pilgrim psalms, aren't they? The psalms that the people of God would sing as they made their way up to Jerusalem, as they made their way to the temple for the various feasts and festivals. Now, some people sort of suggest that it's as they travel, the hills sort of are places where danger may be lurking and robbers hiding. And so as they look around, they might be tempted to be afraid of what's going on. They instead, well, where is our help? Our help's in the Lord. We're reminding ourselves of that even in the midst of all the troubles and the dangers, that our help's in the Lord. Well, that might be. We can't be sure about that. I'm more inclined to think this is a reference to the hills of Jerusalem and the hills that surround Jerusalem. If you just turn on to Psalm 125 and verse 2, this is another one of the songs of ascent. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. So Jerusalem was built on mountains. It was surrounded by mountains. And it was the site that the pilgrims were looking for as they made their journey. Some of them a very long way. They kept looking for and longing to see those hills. This pilgrim journey's going on. And they want to, at last, the site of Jerusalem. The mountains come. The place where the temple is and where their hope is, where they're going to, where the God that they trust in, the God who's their helper, dwells. I think that's the. It seems to be a deliberate action, doesn't it? I will lift up my eyes to the hills. This is a determined action. I'm gonna look to the Lord. I'm gonna trust in the Lord. I'm not gonna fear what's around me. I'm gonna look to the Lord for my help. And then the psalmist reminds us of how the Lord is able to help and ready to help and promises to help. So you just let this sink in tonight. You've got a God, your Lord, the one you're looking to as you head out into this week, as you face all the trials of life, as you think about your past and your future, the Lord who's able to help, ready to help, promises to help. So first of all, he's able to help, isn't he? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So first of all, a reminder of who our God is. He's the Lord, that I am, eternal, unchanging, all-sufficient, doesn't need anything, doesn't depend on anyone, strength never fails, never in need. That's who he is. He's the Lord, and we're reminded of what he's done. The Lord who made heaven and earth. What have you made? I love the fact that we're all different, and some of us are good at making a mess, and some of us are good at making things, aren't we? I love the fact that we're all different. We've got some of the men. I'm not going to start naming people, but you can make stuff. It's great, isn't it? It's impressive. Put stuff together, build a house or a kitchen or a camper van or whatever it might be. But here's, that all rather pales into insignificance, doesn't it? When we say the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Just the universe. In Hebrew, you get a few of them in this psalm, the opposites, just to encompass everything, you know, sun and moon and going, coming and going, and heavens and earth. It's just saying God has made everything, wherever you look. You made the universe, the heavens, all the trillions and trillions of stars, each one of them just a vast bundle of energy, aren't they? I love the stars. I've had some good starry nights recently, although I missed the northern lights, which I'm annoyed about, but there we are. But you know how vast they are, aren't they? I've told you before, some of the stars out there are twice the circumference of the Earth's orbit around the sun. So you think of our orbit around the sun. Here's the sun, and here's the Earth going around it. We're 93 million miles away, and some of the stars are that much bigger. Just a star. I mean, it's just, you can't get your mind around it, can you? You can't even begin to comprehend the vastness of it. And what does Genesis 1 say? Oh, nearly forgot. He made the stars also. And he just... Why, surely that's why it says in Psalm 33, 8 and 9 that we read earlier, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the earth world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. I mean, we should be in awe of such a God. I mean, where does all this power come from? It comes from the one to whom, the Bible says, whom power belongs. And he just spoke it into being. And this God is your help. As you head out into this week and you're looking for help, this God, the Lord, who made heaven and earth, is your helper. I mean, there's no situation you can get yourself into that he can't help you in or get you out. There's no power that's anywhere near in comparison to him. There's nothing that can thwart him or stand in his way. Those words in Jeremiah 32, verse 7. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. I know what you've done, Lord. I know what you can do. If God is for us, who can be against us? What does it matter who's against us? He's able to help. Okay, so let's look to him. Let's run to him. How foolish it is to try and do things in our own little strength when here's the God who's ready to help you, and he's the Lord who made heaven and earth. I mean, it's foolish, isn't it, to go on in our own little strength rather than look to him. Not only is he able to help, he's ready to help. And Psalm reminds us he's always ready, and he's always near. So he's always ready to help. Verse 3, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, I'm aware that when I start to talk about sleep, it's a bit of a sensitive subject in our church. Because we seem to be collecting people who can't sleep. They would love to, but they can't. Richard is thinking of setting up a WhatsApp group for 3 o'clock in the morning, people who can't sleep. On the other hand, some of us can sleep for England, can't we? Most of my family can sleep for England. It's amazing what people can sleep through, isn't it? Storms and... We were camping in a storm. I was up most of the night knocking in the tent pegs. My children slept through the lot of it. And sometimes, you know, you don't know what's happened, do you? What trouble there's been. I remember when our children were babies, waking up in the morning saying to Lois, wow, that was a good night. They slept through, didn't they? And being assured that that was not the case at all. They hadn't slept through at all. But I slept through it and left Lois to it. But it can be hard at night, can't it? I know. When you're awake, worrying about something or ill or in pain, and everyone else is asleep and unaware, and your wife's snoring, and it can be a lonely time, can't it? It can be lonely. But the Lord never slumbers nor sleeps. He's never weary. He's never needing a rest. There's never a time when he can't be disturbed. He doesn't need Mondays off. He doesn't need a holiday. He's always ready. always ready. You remember that was the sort of thing, wasn't it, that Elijah taunted the prophets of Baal about? You young people remember that, don't you? On, you know, when they're trying to call fire down from heaven, you know, he says, call a bit later, perhaps he's busy, perhaps he's on a journey, perhaps he's fallen asleep. A few other things he suggests as well besides that. But Elijah knew he could taunt the prophets of Baal, firstly because Baal was an idol anyway, but also secondly because that's never true of the Lord. He's never asleep. He's never away. He's there for his people. So if you're one of God's children here, there's not a moment, not even a single second, when the Lord is not watching over you. When he's not keeping you. When he doesn't know what you're facing. When he's not ready to help you. It's not for one second is he distracted. Psalm 139, David says this, isn't he? How precious are your thoughts to me, or towards me, or for me? How great is the sum of them? If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. I mean, we can't number them, can we? Grains of sand. So the Lord never sleeps. He's always ready. You can go to him. If you're awake in the night, you can speak to him. You can tell him. He's watching. He knows. He's ready, always ready, and always near. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. He's spoken of here as a shade from the sun and the moon. But really, that's just I might think, why do you need shade from the moon? Well, it's just again, Hebrew poetry, isn't it? The opposites. Day or night, he's going to be there. He's going to protect you. He's going to watch over you from the heat of the day, the dangers of the night, whatever it is. He is there with you at your right hand. Sometimes, you know, we hear, don't we, if someone's in trouble, perhaps our family member. But we weren't there. We couldn't do anything. We can only be in one place at one time. We weren't there. We didn't know anything about it. We were unaware, blissfully unaware, for hours later till we found out. We'd have been there, we'd have done something. Of course we would have done, but we weren't there. Because we're finite people and we can only be in one place at one time, but not the Lord. He's everywhere present. He's fully present everywhere, all of the time. So it's not that, you know, we've got a bit of God here. We've got a bit of the Lord here and there's a bit of him in some other place or wherever it is. He's fully present, isn't he? I mean, we can't grasp it, but he's there. He's at our right hand, wherever we are. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You may be far away from friends. You may be in a place where no one else knows and no one else sees, but the Lord is there. Now, does that mean Christians never face trials? The Lord will deliver you and keep you from all injustice and all pain and all troubles? Clearly not. I mean, the Bible never promises that, does it? But you can know this, can't you? That in every trial, well, the Lord sees. The Lord knows. The Lord is there. The Lord will. The Lord knows it all, cares about it all. And you can trust him, and you can cry to him, and you can look to him, and you can rest in him. I mean, that's part of the whole purpose of the psalm, isn't it? It's not saying, you know, you'll never have any troubles or trials, but it's saying, look, here's a God who will help you in them and be with you through them and overrule them and work in them, bring you safely to the end of the journey. That's the promise, isn't it? He's near. And of course, he's drawn near in an even more wonderful way, hasn't he? Because he's the God who made heaven and earth, has left heaven and come to earth, become one of us, stood in our place, entered our lives, entered our humanity, and walked this earth and known all its sorrows. There's not a sorrow that we know here tonight that the Lord hasn't known in some form or other. There's not a temptation that we face that the Lord hasn't faced it. There's not a emotion that we might know that the Lord hasn't known. We have one who's a great high priest, who sympathizes with us, who knows exactly what you need. And for this week, and for all that's before you, and all your trials and all your struggles, he knows exactly what you need, and you can go to him and find mercy and grace to help in time of need, every time. So he's able to help, and he's ready to help. And just briefly as we go, he promises to help. He promises to help. So this psalm is full of promises, isn't it? That's what it really is, isn't it? When he says he will not allow your foot to be moved, to slip, that's a promise. He's saying, I'm going to keep you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to bring you to the end of the journey. Now, again, I say it doesn't mean that the path will be easy. There will be no hard times. I mean, the promises are for the hard times, aren't they? They're there for us to lay hold of and trust in and believe in the hard times. The statement, the Lord is your keeper. It's a promise, really, isn't it? The Lord's saying, I'm going to keep you. You know, he's taking responsibility for you, okay? The Lord's taking responsibility for you. You can think of that like a zookeeper. I mean, I'm not saying anything about you by saying that. But zookeeper takes responsibility for those in its care. That's the Lord saying, I'm take responsibility. I'm going to bring you safely through. You know, if the keeper, if one of the tigers at Banham Zoo escapes, and the keeper goes, well, it's not my responsibility. I'm just the keeper. That's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, the keeper's responsible. And the Lord's responsible for you, and he's going to bring you, okay, to the end of the journey. Preserve you from all evil. Preserve your soul. You may lose your money. You may lose your health. You may lose your loved ones. But here's something more precious than anything else: your never dying soul. And he's gonna keep you and bring you safely through to the end of the journey. And so what does he want you to do? He wants you to remember these promises and claim these promises and trust these promises and pray these promises. As you wake up tomorrow morning, pray this psalm, like we prayed Psalm 33. Pray it to the Lord. I need you to keep me. You promised to be my keeper. Help me. Grant me your strength. Grant me your grace today. What a wonderful blessing to be able to say, my help comes from the Lord. He's the one I'm hoping in. He's my shield and my salvation. Is he yours tonight? What a blessing to be able to have him as your help. And he's ready this evening to help, to be your helper, to be your savior, to be your Lord.